East St. Louis has struggled in so many ways for so many years, and some might say never reached the city's potential. There can be many reasons for that, but it's not for lack of trying on the part of scores of dedicated citizens. We all know about Miles Davis, Catherine Dunham, and Jackie Joyner-Kersee, who made their community and their nation so proud. But there are scores of others who have also done so inside and outside of the community itself. Their stories are told in the book Legendary East St. Louisans. The authors are native East St. Louisans Reginald Petty and Tiffany Lee. She is a St. Louis Community College communications professor and founder of Tiffany Rose Publishing. He's a retired U.S. government administrator, activist, and historiographer for the city of East St. Louis. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
As the historiographer, I'm going to start with you, Reginald, if I may.
Okay.
Do you think it's fair that all the publicity seems to go to Miles Davis, Jackie Joyner-Kersee, and Catherine Dunham?
I definitely think it's unfair.
I kind of thought you might say that.
There are so many other people who would certainly fit that same category of people who've made major impact worldwide and certainly nationwide and who are from East St. Louis. And so we did this book trying to just identify some of those to surprise and shock people.
Well, I think perhaps you've reached your objective with that. But, Tiffany, we don't want to diminish the contributions that those three people in particular have made because they have been certainly significant in and of their own.
Yes, definitely. Of course, you have to talk about Miles Davis when you talk about East St. Louis.
Sure.
I mean, you have to talk about Miles Davis if you talk about jazz, period, right? So, of course, you have to talk about Miles Davis and Catherine Dunham. She was just such a great asset to the city, someone who would essentially decide to give up a career in Hollywood to come and change a city, right? Mm-hmm. She decided in the 60s to come to East St. Louis because she had heard about some of the violence in the city dealing with the gangs. And so she gave up that career to come to the city, and essentially that's what she dedicated the rest of her life to. So she's not a native East St. Louisan. She just adopted the city.
How deep did you have to dig to come up with the names of those included in your book?
So Mr. Petty and myself, we worked together to kind of identify some of the people who had made an impression on the city, just and also nationwide and some people international. However, then we started to think about who are some of the pillars of the community who built East St. Louis. So Mr. Petty had already some of these names in his words, bits and pieces that he was putting together. And then through research, we actually start finding other people.
Yeah. There's a phrase in the book that I just love. You talk about heroes and sheroes. Is that your line, Reginald?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it came from.
No,
well, it's pretty good.
I think it was hers.
No, that's Eugene Redmond.
Eugene Redmond wrote about the book, and that's
a term that he uses: heroes and sheroes. And he was talking about the people in the book and that their stories needed to be told.
Right. Well, give me a shero that most people wouldn't know about, Reginald.
Well, the first, for example, a person who's in the book.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't know, believe it or not, of Jackie Joyner-Kersee.
I find that hard to believe, given the exposure she gets around here.
It shouldn't be, but it's when you go nationally, when you talk to people about that. And
Carrie Bowles.
Carrie Bowles, yeah.
Yeah, she was essentially a person that we found while we were researching for the book, looking for information on Benjamin Bowles in particular. Mm-hmm. And her story was just so prolific.
What was her story?
Essentially, she came to the city. She was one of the people who came during the Great Migration to become a school teacher. She married the principal of Lincoln, and And essentially, you know, when you married at that time, you had to quit teaching. So she took up so many other things. She became a part of the women's suffrage movement and actually worked, integrated the women's suffrage movement here between East St. Louis and St. Louis, between black and white, and worked with the famed Gail Horn on the suffrage movement. She was one of the first people that out of a social work class, first women's social work class in this area, and actually helped after the riots, the 1917 race riots. So she was just, it's stories like that that haven't necessarily been told, but it starts to make you think about what are you doing with this little 24 hours a day that you've been given, mm-hmm. right? Because it's inspirational, right?
Also, too, I think even though these are names that are in the book, I mean, there's so many others from East St. Louis who, you know, for example, Arnett Hubbard. Mm-hmm. She's a judge in Chicago. She was the first president of the National Bar Association, first female from East St. Louis. And she was first female president of the National Bar Association. There are just so many people. Obviously, the one that a lot of people talk about now is the coach of University of Missouri.
Oh, yes, yeah. Quanzo, yeah.
From East St. Louis.
Well, I think of one that I think would surprise a lot of folks unless they're of a certain age, and that's Donald McHenry, who was a former ambassador to the United Nations.
Exactly.
It came as a big surprise to a lot of people here when he was named to that position.
Yes.
And of course, he distinguished himself in that role.
Yes. And we talk about I talked to him the day before yesterday, and he still does a lot of international work. He's just bouncing all over the place and now. And he was a year behind me in school.
Really? Where is he now, by the way?
He lives in D.C., Washington, in Georgetown. And he still does a lot of consulting work for the State Department. And he's also on the board of directors of Coca-Cola and the Carnegie Foundation and Rockefeller Foundation. So he's still, you know, contact all those organizations. And I guess one of the places people we should also mention was Gloria Boozman. Mm. She is a person who a lot of people don't know. She is she was working for the State Department for a long time, but now she's probably close to being a billionaire if she's not one. And she doesn't mind us by saying that. But she lives in outside of D.C. and she's made a lot of money in the health field, and she spent a lot of time in Nigeria.
We're talking about people whose reach goes far beyond East St. Louis. I mean, that's important to be sure, but that they had impact elsewhere as well.
Yes.
I'm wondering about the impact of these stories and these people on young people today. Tiffany, are young people going to have access to this book to... I hate to put it this way, but I think a lot of people need to feel a restoration of pride in their community because there's a lot of bad press that certain communities get, and East St. Louis is one of them. What about the young people's response?
Yes. So I have found that a lot of young people are really surprised. One of the things that I'm really proud of is that we were able to work with East St. Louis School District, and they actually did purchase copies of the book to use in specifically Black History class. So we have spoken with some of the young people from East St. Louis and talked about some of the people here in the book, and they were really shocked. They couldn't believe it. I think that the stories are inspirational. I felt like they were inspirational when we were writing. Mm-hmm. They inspired me, the stories there. And so the testimony there is that you can do anything that you decide to do, right? No matter whether you're living in a segregated part of East St. Louis, or, you know, if you come from a family that doesn't have anything, you can decide that you're going to make your life different. And that is what's important about these inspirational stories. Like I said, these people were doing so many things. It makes you just start to wonder, like, what am I doing, right? What can I do to contribute? And so until that fact, we actually went and volunteered and spoke with children in East St. Louis. During Black History Month, we were asked to speak about our book, about East St. Louis history, about the 1917 race riots. And the students were surprised about their history, but they were also some of, you know, their kids. Yeah. But some of them were really interested in these stories.
Reginald, we did a program last week in remembrance of Patricia McKissick, who passed away about 10 days ago. And she wrote more than 100 books, as I'm sure you know, basically for young people. And that's why I raised this question for Tiffany here, the importance of having young people understand their history, because the history's not written many other places.
No.
If you don't do it, it's not going to be there.
It's absolutely critical. And I think it's also important that the young adults have this information, because some of the young adults, about this, I mean, in their 20s, early 30s, don't know. And also some of the young teachers don't know. This is not a part of their curriculum in school. So therefore, this kind of a book, hopefully this is information that they can use, as Tiffany said, the history teachers, but also the English teachers, all the other teachers, when they're discussing this in their class, and also to their own kids at home.
Sure.
You know, they can mention Donald McHenry lived down the street. He lived over here, and I knew him when, or I knew his, you know, exactly, you know, this kind of thing.
So, Tiffany, then you mentioned the research and doing your research earlier. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that was a difficult chore for you because, there, as I alluded to in a moment ago with Reginald, there's not much of that history written down. You don't find a lot of Black history in America's history books.
No, and that is the sad part about it. I actually was just teaching earlier today, and I was talking about writing your history from your perspective. I always use the poem Nikki Rosa by Nikki Giovanni, talking about, because I think it starts something like, childhood occurrences are really a drag when you're Black, right? And it's a satirical approach to looking at the Black experience, because in the end, essentially, she says, you know, Caucasian reporters don't understand that, you know, what we had when we were younger, that I actually see that in a positive light. So in this way, these stories right here are presenting that positive side. And you're right, it was hard to find information, even though there are actually over 100 references in there. It was hard to find information. Some of the people we couldn't even cover because we couldn't find research information about these people. A good thing that actually happened was that we were able, Mr. Petty had a copy of The Ebony Tree. The Ebony Tree was Clementine Reeves. She actually decided to take it upon herself to write a lot of the East St. Louis history, just from the families there, the businesses and everything. And we actually were able to use that as a resource. We tried to use at least two sources for each story, but you're right, it was hard to find.
You know, I have a question in front of me here asking if Harry Edwards is in the book. And, of course, Harry Edwards is in the book.
Yes,
I can't imagine you would have put together a book without Harry Edwards in it. Reginald, do you want to just very quickly tell his story and why that's important?
Well, anybody who's aware of the Olympics and the fist that went up in the air, and that was Harry Edwards contacting the Olympic stars at that time and getting them to
Carlos and
to, yes, right, right. To getting them to protest the civil rights activities during that time, and he's still very much involved. I talked to him about a couple of months ago. He's still out in San Francisco.
We had him on the air a couple of months ago,
okay.
he's still very active and
exactly.
very
yes,
committed to the
exactly.
cause. Do you have any a sense, Tiffany, of inspiration that that these people have generated, perhaps stories of people who were inspired by some of the people in your book?
Well, the book is not yet a year old, and we have just gotten it into the school district. Actually, in February, we delivered the books to the school. So I would say that I don't know any particular stories in regards to our book that would that have inspired people, but we look forward to that in the future.
I haven't counted up the number of people that you profile in the book, but it's considerable. I'd say there are probably 50 plus certainly in there.
Yeah, so the people that are profiled is actually kind of interesting. It's 49. It was supposed to be right. We also list people who are mentioned within other stories. Sure. So when you look at that, it's more like 70.
Well, if folks want to learn more about it, the book is Legendary East St. Louisans. It's written by Reginald Petty and Tiffany Lee, our guests in studio today. Thank you so much. Good luck with the book. I know it's been out for a while, but it's an important contribution to our local history. And I thank you both for that.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.